I'm Sue. And we are with the Van Ministry.
And we are Zion United.
We are.
So we've been drive kids in the van Thursday morning, Friday morning, about 26 kids. We've been doing it for a couple of years, and it's just a great time.
And we saw Jesus. I just want to thank the congregation for everything they do. These kids, we have Christian music on in the van. They know the words to the songs, and they sing it with such exuberance. And it just encourages us like you wouldn't believe. And we see them, they make the sign of the cross when we pray in the van, and they are respectful and quiet. These are things that someone has taken time to teach them. A place has been provided for them to learn these things, and we get to reap the benefits. So we just appreciate everything you do as Christians in this community and this neighborhood.
It's super easy if you know how to drive. There's a van, and it just takes a little bit of time in the morning or the afternoon or both, whatever works for you. It's been a great experience for us. We do it on our way to work and just go from there in the mornings. Kids are great, and we get an opportunity to talk to them about Jesus, and it's just a really exciting time.
You will be blessed more than you have to give if you do this.
Absolutely. So, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Hi, I'm Majid Bahad. I'm a lay pastor here in Zion Church. We have a ministry with the Iraqi people, and we are very happy for this ministry. We talked about Jesus Christ with the different people, Iraqi people. We would like to help the church more, and it is a wonderful church to help, especially the Iraqi people here in Dimon. And we would like to help our community also through this church. We have a ministry with the Iraqi people, and every Sunday we have study Bible and talk to about the Bible. And explain the Bible to the Iraqi people. We are very happy with this ministry and with this church. We pray God bless this church, bless Pastor John and other people here who worked with the pastor. And I hope, I ask God to help me to help the people in this church, and it's wonderful we are here in America, and especially with this church. We are Zion United.
Zion, we are thrilled that you are here today. We believe that this will be the most important hour, actually today, probably closer to 75 minutes of your life, of your week, not of your life, hopefully not, anyway, of your week. And hey, everybody, it's one service. It's going to be, we'll go for life. Why not? Hey, if you're going, go big or go home, right? All right, so here's the thing. We are thrilled that you're here. We believe that this is the most important hour of your week, to come and to put yourself squarely before Jesus and to let your heart and your life be changed by that. It's our prayer that you would experience Christ through song, through scripture, through sermon, and through fellowship with one another. We value Jesus here. We value the things of his kingdom. We value you. We value each other. And we value the people who have not yet made it through our doors, the people out there. And it's our hope that you would join us in the journey of coming to value all of those things just a little bit more in your life as well. So join us in that. If you're visiting this morning, welcome. We are thrilled that you would choose to spend part of your Sunday with us. Please stop by the information desk in the lobby after the service today. You'll find all kinds of information about who we are, what we do, ways that you can become a part of the fun that is Zion Church. And with that, too, you'll find, I believe, visitor cards probably in your bulletin, maybe in the pew racks in front of you. If you are visiting today, we would encourage you to fill one of those out just so we know who you are and where you come from, and ways that we might be able to connect with you in the future if you so wish. If you have a need, if you're a visitor, if you've gone to this church from the time you were born, if you have a need, whatever that need may be, you can find me. You can speak to whoever's staffing the information desk this morning. You can call the church office, stop one of the pastors, and we will do whatever we can to help meet that need, whatever that might be. So all you have to do is ask, and we will do what we can in the name of Jesus to help you. Three things today. Here's the deal. This is a worship service, one service together. Typically, we have three on Sunday morning. We cram them all into one. We hit the middle at 9:30. And let's just be honest, this is going to be a little bit awkward because we're going to talk business in the midst of it. One of the things we talked and prayed through as a board and as a staff is that we're really hopeful that we could, in a sense, sanctify the church's business meeting. Why would the business of the church not be ultimately worship to Jesus as well? So we thought, we're going to do all of our business in the context of worship, hopefully with worship framing how we think about money, how we think about government, how we think about really how we run the church on a daily basis. More than that, we want today to be a day of celebration, a day full of joy, and a day full of thanksgiving, the opportunity to say thank you to God for everything that he has done, and also then to launch into this next fiscal year with joy in what we believe Jesus is calling us to do. So I guess as long as we all understand that we will talk some business during this, but business in Jesus' church is worship too, then I think we're going to be okay. And if you are visiting this morning, well, you get a little, you get a view maybe at the family business of the church that you're visiting today. So hopefully that'll be an all right thing. Another fun thing after this service today, when it concludes, if you want to journey on down to the fellowship hall, we're gonna have a big celebration meal together. Sandwiches, salads, things like that. Come on down, put your feet up, have a lunch with us, and let's celebrate who Jesus is in our presence, what he's done this past year, and again, what he has in store for us moving forward. So, with that, welcome. Let me pray, and then I'm going to invite our congregational president forward for a few remarks. So, let's pray. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for what has happened in this place last year and the years prior. God, in our history, the journey you've set us on to bring us to where we are at. And Lord, we're grateful for the moment. Help us find joy in being here together. Father, would you be great? Would you be glorious? Would you be glorified in our worship? Father, as we seek you in word, as we seek you in seeking to run your church as you wish us to. And Father, we want to celebrate what lies ahead, where we see you calling us. And Lord, for the things that we don't see yet, that we know you are calling us to. Give us courage to follow. Give us courage to run hard towards you into the great, beautiful, bright future that you have for your church here in this place. God, we commit everything that is said, everything that is done in the context of this service to you today. May it be for your sake and may it be for your glory. For your sake and for your glory only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John, you want to come on up?
Well, I'd like to welcome everybody to this combined service and business meeting. I might actually start calling it the grand experiment, so we'll see how it works. And I would like to say, I guess, when we first had this introduced into concept in one of our board meetings.
Can we trade?
Yep. Are you red?
The singers need that.
Thanks. This one's on. When it was first introduced as a concept at the board meeting, I think it was more of a challenge to us to accept than what maybe we were ready to prepare for, but... One of the reasons we're doing it, and I wanted to talk about this before I open the actual business meeting, was that we feel sometimes our business meetings get disconnected from the mission of the church, and the fact that this church has such a great story to tell in terms of what our mission and our successes are, And that really lays down how we go about doing our business. And so we want to combine the two together. So a worship service that really praises God and what his body has achieved here, as well as doing his business in terms of the meeting that we're about to attend. So with that, I'm going to officially call the meeting to order and say a little word of prayer, and then we'll move on with the rest of the agenda. So, Lord, I ask that you join us here as we do your business in the context of a worship service for you and to witness to that which you have done in this body and of believers in this local community and what we have achieved here on your behalf, and so that we are the legs and the arms and the feet that we go forward and do your mission. As we kind of wrapped ourselves around Jesus said go, this whole business meeting is how we go about achieving that. So, Lord, I ask you to join us. I ask you that we would all come with a worshipful heart, and that we would look upon this business meeting as a way to meet you at the place where we do the work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hi, I'm Jessica Dunker, and I'm a Zion Church Advocate through our refugee outreach, as well as a Wednesday night Star Kids volunteer. I have been so excited to get to be just deeply involved with some of the students that come here. I was at a museum once, and I ran across the quote, "I was a stranger in a strange land." And when I stop and think about what Zion is doing here, we're working really hard collectively to make being here just a little less strange to the strangers that we've invited to come into our community and come into our world and really be part of the culture. I've been struck by the idea that when you're winning a race, it's very difficult to win when you have to start 50 feet behind the start line. And I think everything that we do for the kids here, whether it's through our tutoring program or exposing them to things like soccer games or going to the school conference on their behalf, making sure that they get the school physicals that they need or the pair of shoes or the shin guards they need to be in a sport, just gets them a little bit closer to that start line. And I think that that's how we can be the hands and feet of Jesus as we stand as Zion United. I really have seen Jesus, and one of the best things that happened was last night when I had a car full of kids and we were returning from a Menace game, and out of the very back seat of my car, a little voice started to sing, "How great is our God." And before we were back to the apartment complex, all of the little voices in my car were singing, "How great is our God." And so as we stand as Zion United, all I can do is stop and think every day, not how great we are, but how great is our God.
Hi, I'm Denise Nonsen, and I'm with the Children's Ministry here at Zion United. And we organize Sunday School and WOW on Wednesday nights. And one way that I saw Jesus this year, at our very last WOW, we had a movie night, kind of as a celebration for the last WOW. And it was a video, a cartoon video of Jesus and his life. And at the very end of his life, when he was dying on the cross, little black dots were covering his body to represent the sin of all of us. And the room, which was filled with red, yellow, black, and white children, all on the floor, on pillows, with blankets, watching this video, got silent. The kids were, I think they soaked that in. They heard it, and I got goosebumps. And so I think that was a Jesus moment at WOW. And I would love, it's crazy and it's chaotic, but I would love as many Zion people as are interested to help with the kids in some way. It really, it fills your cup. It fills my cup. And I would pray that it would do the same for you. Thanks.
Great. Cool.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Feichert. I am part of the Street Outreach Ministry here at Zion. We have two different outreaches that we do on a regular basis. The first one is the monthly street outreach to the homeless camps, where we assemble sack lunches and take them out. We visit with the campers. And then we also do a dinner at Reggie's once a quarter, where that is more of a younger population, ages 16 to 21. We've had such an exciting year. We've started to see a lot more families joining with the ministry, going out to the camps, and just a whole family environment. Some of the highlights we've had this year is we had one camper that we've struggled with for many, many years. He didn't want anything to do with us for a long time, and recently he started coming out of his camp and talking to us. He's being sober for longer periods of time. And I think that's a direct result of Zion being involved in his life and the prayers that are being lifted up on his behalf. We have another camper that recently came to Zion to say thank you. Just, and one of the things he made a comment about was just spreading the butter on the bun was just showing love. And that's what we're all about. We're just showing the love of Jesus Christ to everyone that's out there, letting them know that they matter and that they're important to us. We are Zion United.
Hi, my name is Vicki, and I work in the kitchen on Wednesday nights here at Zion. I wanted to talk a little bit about the highlights from this year. I think the biggest highlight was just the way that the Zion community came together to support this important ministry. It wasn't just people who come to church here every week. It was friends of those people and people who don't even come to Zion or claim Zion as their church every day. They heard what we were doing here and they stepped up. They thought that this was a good thing. And so I think that was one of the biggest highlights of this year. Another one is around the leftovers. We plan the meals so that there's a little leftover. Some of those leftovers go to the street outreach ministry so that they can take them around to the homeless camps. And another thing surprising that happened this year was that there's a member that comes here and she sometimes can't put food on her own table. But she came one night and said, you know, if you have a little leftover, we have, there's a lot of people who live in my building who can't put, who don't get a good hot meal any night, let alone on Wednesday. So if you have a couple of things that I could take back from my building, that would be great. And that has turned into something that began to serve 10 extra families on Wednesday nights that they got a hot meal. So I think, what did I see, where did I see Jesus moving in the kitchen ministry? A story that comes to mind is the night that we had jambalaya. And sometimes the kids, you know, they kind of wrinkle up their nose and say, what is that? And so there were a couple of teenage girls, and the one girl says, what is that? And I said, it's rice and veggies and sausage and chicken and all kinds of things that are really good for you. And her friend leaned over and looked at it and said, and I bet there's a whole lot of love and the Holy Spirit in there too. And so that was just a delightful moment. So what do we need in the kitchen on Wednesday nights? We need prayer. We need prayer that we can continue to do this ministry and to trust that God is going to put the money in the coffers so that we can purchase the meals each week. We did have some lean weeks where we weren't sure if we were going to have enough, but you came through, and lots of people came through. We serve over 400 people each Wednesday night, and we have a crew of over 15 people who prepare and serve and clean up after this meal. So continue to keep us in your prayers, and if you have an interest in getting involved in this ministry, just come on by on a Wednesday night, and we'll get you hooked up. So thanks for your support. We appreciate it.
Go.
Okay. In the end, on Wednesday nights, at the end of the evening, we just pray that we are sending them out of here with full tummies and filled up with the Holy Spirit, and we hope that that feeling that they leave here with spills over into their friends and their families and brings them back next week.
Isn't it great to see everything that's being done on behalf of Jesus Christ in our midst as we go out? These videos are really impressive, and seeing what people have been called to do is part of Zion's ministry and what the community has even brought in. You'll hear a theme in here about non-Zion members and people who don't even worship here coming out and helping some of these ministries. Next thing I'd like to do is to introduce you to the board members. We'll talk about the ones that are currently serving, going off, as well as those that are being nominated. Oops, it went forward on me. I introduced myself, John Ropke, the president and chair of the Board of Spiritual Oversight. I've been on the board for 4 years, going into my fifth year, and president 2 years. Mike Nagy, who is not able to be here today, joined our board last year. He spent a term or two on the BOA and has been a member for quite a while. Dave is leaving the board this time, but he's been a term on the board and he's been an active member and on boards in the past too, and he will be missed as a voice on the Board of Spiritual Oversight. Lucy is our representative of the Mizo ministry. It's something that we're going to strive to do as we bring in large groups of ethnic people to somehow involve them in our government. So Lucy represents that fairly significant part of our body. And it's really great to have her there and get perspective. She does come with a less American culturized version of the world that helps us with perspective at times. And Judy, who is a real joy, is also going off the board this year, served her term and is up, and she's also been playing secretary for us, so taking minutes today for this meeting. And so the Board of Administration. Matt Lanhan is the chair, and also, you'd never know where he was at this week. chair of this board, he also sets his ex as the vice president of the congregation in that role. And has been leading that for a couple of years. Great to have him both boards, and that's probably one of the tougher roles that we have in the congregation because it plays an active role on two different boards and has to be the liaison between them. So, Lisa is she joined 2 years ago. Is that right? 1 year ago. So you're entering your second term. Board of Administration has the responsibility of doing a lot more of the day-to-day administrative church activities, and so. There are different challenges that they bring. Lisa's a welcomed addition. Chris Burley is, I think, also joined last year. And Brian Thilgus was acting as our finance chair, I guess, on this, and that happened midterm because we had Travis Wilson, who was on the board and elected last year, had to leave for a job. And Brian has decided not to continue in another term also. So with that, I'd like to bring up Beth to give a nominating report and introduce the nominees for new members.
Well, thank you. I would like to thank my nominating committee, who we met a couple times in June and July to review the candidates that we had. And so the committee that looked at these candidates, Dwayne Swanson, Barb Midland, Chris Borey, Mark Sievers, Mindy Johnson, and of course we had Pastor John to help support us. The nominees, I think we have a slide. Okay, we have Lorraine Becker. She is our nominee for the Board of Spiritual Oversight. Lorraine has been with the church many years, and she just has she's just flowing with the Spirit. So we just think that she would be just a wonderful candidate for this board, and just could provide so much insight that she has. Also, Karen Lenhart was nominated, and just after speaking with her, she has so much enthusiasm and just so excited to be a part and to serve Zion. So we think that she also would be an excellent candidate for the board. Now, for the BOA, we have Lynette Croach, I think is to say, and she's going to take over the financial position, and she's already dug in, she's already working hard on it, so she'll just be a wonderful asset to the church and just help us out in many ways that we need. And then the last position was the Board of Administration, or on the BOA, was for property, and Vicki Hunting has served that in the past, and she will continue to do an excellent job, but she needs all our support. The you know, building and the property is a big challenge around here. So if anyone's willing to help her out in some of those aspects that you have some expertise in or want to learn more about what's going on, please, you know, get a hold of Vicki and add her, you know, help her to support all of us. So these were the four positions that we have nominees for. There is also one other position on the BOA, which is the stewardship position. We did not have any nominees specifically for this, and so we're going to leave it open at this time. It is a difficult position. I think our church is moving a little different direction on stewardship. I have chaired this position several times here at Zion, but I think, you know, this position now may be more of a visionary position, and so if we have somebody within the church that really has that desire to figure out where we should go in this direction, you know, I'm sure that if you talk to Pastor John or Pastor Brent, somebody can get you hooked up and if you're willing to serve. So these are our nominations. And just one thing I'd like to mention, with all these nominations and these people willing to serve, you know, we all have to consider what we can give, and the more that we give to our church, the more we get out of it. I've always told my kids that, you know, you don't get much out if you don't put much in. So, you know, please be willing to serve when people ask you, or step forward.
I'd like to thank Beth and the rest of the nominating committee for their effort. And thank you for the time. And it is a tough job to try and look for the right characteristics to put people into leadership roles in the church. She talked about the position that we decided to leave open, and we will be looking for candidates on that, and we'll go back to a nomination process sometime this year once we kind of see if we can find the right candidate for it. But it was a choice by the BSO and the nominating committee together to leave that open. So at this time, I'd like to entertain a motion from the floor to accept the ballot of candidates for the board as it was presented. Okay, I got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say same sign. All right, thank you. So that's a frontline ministry video. Does that what comes next? Or is that the one we just did?
Probably.
Yep. So that means you're up?
Yep, I'm up. Here I go. Morning, everybody. Hey, thanks for coming to be part of, what was it, John? Did you call it the grand experiment? Yeah. So, you know, the thing is, why should we be afraid to try new things? Amen? And, you know, considering, thank you. Considering the mission that God has for us, I cannot imagine why we would not want to try new things. Okay, let's go to the sermon slides, and we'll do that one in a minute, being that I am loaded up here now. And I'm anxious to start because, I don't know, we have, I think, a lot of things that we should be incredibly thankful for this morning. And I'm very, very grateful to God. I'm very grateful to you for being here today. I want you to look around the room, and I want you to understand one of the things that I see, you know, happening here today. Number one, we're trying something new. It's always risky. But I want you to be advised that we should fill this room about three times over. And this is also our annual business meeting, and, you know, over the years we have watched attendance at that decline. And it has been something that is of great concern to some of you because you think that people aren't interested in what's happening in the church. And I guess what I would propose is that, in fact, it's just the opposite. People just don't want to do business. And I think that we need to take that as an affirmative, that there's a lot of trust, that we are on the mission, that we are doing the right things, and that there's, I think, just a lot of, okay, but why do we have to go through a political process, if you will, in order to do it? And we have to go through a political process because we are a corporation. We have to be. We get after the Chinese for registering churches and everything that means in terms of the persecution of Christians in that country. We also have to register our churches in this country. Woodrow Wilson brought that about when he created the income tax. And therefore, churches now have a democratic form of government, and we are corporations, and we have to have a meeting, and we have to have officers, and we have to perform in a certain way. And how do you sanctify that?
Because what's happened, I think, over the years is that we've managed to separate it. This is the God stuff, and then this is the business stuff. This is the stuff where we praise the Lord, woo, and then we go and we get snarky and we, you know, vote and we argue about how many pencils Sunday school needs to buy. And, you know, we're just not going to be that kind of church, amen? Well, this side of the room like that. We're just not going to be that kind of church, amen? Amen. All right, thank you very much, because I would also remind you that we are being recorded. For those of you at the 9:30 service and the 10:30 service, you're not used to this. I've threatened this with you for a long time, and now that moment has arrived. Okay, just remember, we're live. So let's pray, and then I want to talk to you about this scripture. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise because you have called us to things that we could never have asked for, hoped, or imagined. Thank you, God, that you are in charge. And today, Lord, we turn this church back to you. You gave us a great ministry, but it's your ministry, Lord. And so we ask that you would be great in it. We ask that you would just be glorified in it. We ask, Lord, that you would just make it your own. And, Lord, because we want to serve you. We're not doing this so that we can be rich, so that we can be famous, so that we can be something. We don't want to be anything except your servants, Lord. And so we surrender to you today every aspect of this church, all its forms of government, everything that we believe, everything that we ask for, everything that we dream about, everything that we do in your name, we give it back to you. And Lord, be glorified in that. Accept it as an offering of praise. May it be beautiful to you. May it move your heart. And Lord, if it is your desire that you give it back to us, so be it. We are ready, willing, and able to follow wherever you call. Give us a steadfast, dauntless, courageous faith. Let us not give in to fear. We pray for your protection from all the forces of evil. We pray for your protection against the forces of division, factionalism, and all the rest of that human stuff. And we ask, O Lord, simply be great in Zion. Fill this place with your praise. Fill our hearts with love for you and for one another. And Lord, for this world that you created, may they see you in us. And Lord, now be with us, guide us, direct us. And we pray it all in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Luke 14, verse 7. When Jesus noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat, and then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place, and then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or your sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. And although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said, blessed is the one who will eat of the feast of the kingdom of God. And Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. And the first said, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. And still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. And the servant came back and reported this to his master. And then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go quickly into the streets and the alleyways of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. And then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house may be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will taste of my banquet. It was about 3+ years ago, and we asked ourselves a question on the board, what would happen if we no longer existed as a church? What would it be like for our community if we closed? Would anyone miss us? And the unanimous answer was no. And who wants to go to a church that it doesn't matter whether it lives or dies, honestly? And so there's nothing left to do at that point except to turn to the Lord and to ask him, what do you want? What should we be about? What kind of a place do you want us to be? Why are we here? And God answered that, and he gave us a vision. A vision of a banquet, a vision of this parable. And over the last 3 years, we have tried to reorient ourselves as a congregation in order to live out this parable. Two things that come right out of that are that, number one, we need to honor others above ourselves. And the second thing is this, that we need to honor and serve those who can't give us anything in return. The church is God's banquet. And God is the host. And we, all of us, every last one of us, once were guests at that banquet. Because that banquet is salvation. That banquet is the feast of faith and coming to know who Christ is. It's the banquet that gives life. The banquet where God meets men in Jesus. And now I hope that as we grow together to love him, to reflect him, I pray that we are his servants. And I think that's what we do. We encourage people to become guests, and then we do everything that we can to help facilitate the process of faith through which they become servants. Servants of God Most High through Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us that he didn't come to be served, but he came to seek and to save the lost. And if our master has such a great heart for seeking and not being served, what is it that we should be about? We can't be about being served. We have to be about serving as Christ himself has served us. Jesus showed us what love looks like. He went through a very elaborate process by which he got down on his hands and his knees. He humiliated himself before his students in order that he might wash their feet. And afterwards he said, I have set for you an example that you should do as I have done. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, by the way that you love one another. Loving and serving are two sides of the same coin. I think that serving changes us. And I think it's a part of our spiritual growth in being a disciple of Jesus as Bible reading or prayer or going to class. Because in serving, especially those who can't give us anything in return, we learn how to love. C.S. Lewis put it this way, do not waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Simply act as if you did. I mean, I think that's an amazing thought. It's been 8 years, well, it will be 8 years that I've been pastor at Zion, and the one thing that has always been very clear to me from the very beginning was that our weakest point, and some of you have been longtime members, this is a hard thing to hear, but our weakest point was that we just don't love each other. I mean, we love the people in our group, but there were other groups, and it was so hard. How is it that we can learn to love? And I think that through serving, God is changing us because he's putting us in positions where we have to love. Listen to what else Lewis says. He says, as soon as you do this, as soon as you act as if you loved your neighbor, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you presently come to love him. If you injure someone you dislike, you will find yourself disliking him more. But if you do him a good turn, you will find yourself disliking him less. In other words, sometimes we learn how to love simply by the act of loving. I don't feel very loving today. I feel tired. I'd like to stay home. I'd like to have a down day. But Jesus compels us, and we go out, and he fills us up, and suddenly we are in love with his people that we didn't even know existed. And it all came about simply by listening to him and by following his example. If we're to be his servants and help the host at the banquet, what does success look like for us? Do you think it looks like money? Do you think it looks like building, you know, I mean, new stuff added on? We haven't added on anything to the building. With money, I mean, if you listen to the reports, it seems like we are always just like a few moments away from absolute destruction, catastrophic failure, and all the rest. And we have been borrowing from ourselves always for the last like 20 years. Is it about membership size? Do we know that we're successful if, you know, we build a great big church? I don't think so. Because all of those things are a way in which we ourselves would be blessed. Look at our building. Look at our accounts. Look at the size of our congregation. I don't think size matters. We need to reorient ourselves to grow in such a way that what we do is not about how it will bless us or make us look. Instead, the measure of our success simply has to be this one thing: obedience. I am so happy. I'm so proud that our board feels so strongly about that. I said, you know, what do you want to do? I mean, should we go by adult baptisms? Because this year, we're doing really good on that. You know, let's ooh and ah about that. No. Should it be by how many kids? Should it be a number of people? Should it be by attendance? Should it be by offering? How would we do it? And simply they say, just by obedience. And that's very hard. Some would say it's even subjective. But here's the deal, I don't think it is, because if we're obedient to Jesus, then we're living out what he taught us, and that's what we're trying so hard to do. I'm sure we don't do it perfectly. I know that sometimes we fail, and I'm sorry for all of those failures, but here's the thing, we are trying. We are trying to live out the teachings of Jesus together, and I'm so proud to belong to a board that basically said, look, if it's a choice between disobedience and survival, we'd rather close than be disobedient, because we believe that Jesus has given us our marching orders, and we must be true. How do we measure obedience, whether or not we're being obedient? Well, I think there are a few questions. Like, one, did we listen to Jesus? And my question to you, congregation, is did we listen to Jesus? Did we go? Did we set a banquet? Did we bless the least of these? Did people see Jesus in us? Yeah, I don't know. Pastor Jerry's still out on that. No one's called the police and reported a Jesus sighting when we were around. I mean, those are the questions. Were we the light of the world? Are we the salt of the earth? We are surrounded by need. But every need we see should not overwhelm us, because every need we see is simply an opportunity for us to serve our master. That's it. That's just the extent of it. We don't have to be depressed. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to get overwhelmed. We just have to acknowledge, wow, this would be a really great way for us to serve our master, because Jesus sees this need and he wants to do something about it. We believe that this congregation is experiencing a move of God, and that we've been given an extraordinary opportunity by God, and that God is using these opportunities to transform us, and through us to transform our whole community. Through this experience, we believe that we are being transformed in our hearts, our minds, that even in our understanding of what church is, and of our understanding of our own role within the community. And I know that that's hard, because for a long time now, for decades, we have just sat in the church. And we have talked amongst each other about what's happening in the world and all the rest, but I think that we are experiencing a change. And it isn't a political change. It's a way of going out and of advocating for the needs that we see. I believe that this church was absolutely instrumental in changing busing policy for the entire city of Des Moines public school system. Absolutely, that cannot be denied. And right now, we are actively involved in changing the way that the state of Iowa relates to refugees. Do you know why? Because the system's broken. And it's not about politics, and it's not about building a name or fame or any of that stuff, because no one will ever know the extent to which we were involved. And I like it that way. When you do your acts of charity, Jesus says, never let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Or was it your left hand know what your right hand? I don't know, but just keep them behind your back. Don't let them see what's going on. Because in such a way, he is glorified. And in such a way, we as a congregation, I believe, are building up a reward that will make our future in the life to come extraordinary. And I think that what higher calling is there than just to do things that nobody would know about except our master? And that our whole being, our whole thought pattern, would be about, is Jesus pleased? Rather than, have we pleased people? Have we pleased institutions? Have we triumphed in the court of public opinion? Because of this move of God and the extraordinary ministry opportunities he has given us, we have extraordinary needs. And so we're always coming to you. We need volunteers. But you know what? That's not because we're failing. It's because we're succeeding. The more we do, the more we do. Does that make sense? The more we give, the more we give. It just grows. And it grows, I believe, because God is pushing us in that direction. I think sometimes there's a temptation that you and I have to compare ourselves to other churches, to other servants of God, if you will, in this city. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells the parable, right, of the man who goes away on a journey and he leaves 5 bags of gold with one servant and 3 bags of gold with another servant and 1 bag of gold with another. You know what? It's not about what you've been given. It's not about whether we have 5 bags or 3 bags or 1 bag. Let's just say we have one. The whole point of this exercise is that when he comes, we give him 2. That we are able to show a return on the investment that he has made to us. And I believe that that means that we leverage everything that we have. We leverage every volunteer hour we can scrap up. We leverage every dollar we can find. We leverage the building. We leverage our reputations. We do whatever it takes for the furtherance of the kingdom of God and for the sake of his glory, because he has called us to this. And because one day he will come back and say, okay, here's what I gave you. What are you going to do with it? What did you do? I think that's what obedience looks like. I think we have 4 areas that we have to continue to emphasize. They're the same as last year. Surprise, surprise. Number 1 is communication. Why? Because that's always on any organization's hit list. That's always an area that we need to improve. Communication is hard. We used to disseminate information in this church 8, 9 years ago by having a great big board that had constituents, and the board went and talked to the various groups and board members and all that kind of stuff. We don't do that anymore. So now what happens is that you kind of have to look for the information. It's published, it's out there, it's given. Sometimes we talk about it even, you know, from the pulpit or whatever, but that's where it is, and it's harder. And I think that one of those reasons that it's harder to communicate is because we are not a small church. I know that, you know, when you look around in your service or whatever, you see a church and it's that big. But the thing is that when you put us all together in our various facets and all the rest, we trend larger. Let me see if I can find the right slide. I want to go through all these things and I haven't done it yet, and I'm not sure I will in the interest of time. But 1296, that's who we are. We are a ship with 1,296 souls on board. How did I get that? That is our membership, baptized, confirmed, and it's also our prospects. Who are our prospects? Our prospects are the people that we serve. The question, I guess, comes back to this whole idea of, does it matter whether we exist or not? Who would miss us if we're gone? So I will just ask you right now, if we close tomorrow, will this community miss us, yes or no? I think so. And you know, those people who are coming, let me tell you about who they are. They are people like you and I who don't want to join because joining implies a political process, and they don't want to have to go to meetings like this. Because meetings like this wreck stuff. I don't know how else to describe it. You can fall in love with the ministry and you do the ministry and all the rest, but it's the behind-the-scenes manipulations. What party are you belonging to? How many pencils does Sunday school really need? There's too much emphasis on this, not enough emphasis on that. And rather than just saying, yep, you're absolutely right, we have to find a way to force change or whatever. That's what gets perceived. And you know what? I'm telling you this because it's a fact. And the longer we go into the future, however many more days, years, or months God has given us to be together, here's the thing, that's not going to change, because the generations, mine and below, don't like the political process. We don't enjoy meetings. We don't think that good things are accomplished that way. We see just opportunity for people to get upset and for miscommunication to happen. And I'm sorry for that, but it's just a generational fact. As we look at ourselves as a diverse group, we have to remember that we were also diverse generationally. And, you know, we also have some people who have been burned by other churches. Let's just face it, Church of Jesus Christ makes more anti-disciples, I think, sometimes, than it does disciples, because we hurt people. And if you've been hurt by this church, please believe me, you have my absolute apology, and I beg for your forgiveness on behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ everywhere. If you've been hurt by another church, please, on behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ everywhere, please accept this as an apology. We have to go on, though, together. And we have to keep building community. There's just no other way. We have to learn how to communicate in this church across cross-cultural contexts. We have to learn how to communicate in Arabic and Mizo and, oh my goodness, in 10 languages, I think. It's hard. And so in order to meet these challenges, we're going to reposition Kevin King. Because he does a great job with publications, with internet stuff, with making stuff look beautiful. He understands how people communicate. He was a hoo-ha in the world of printing and media communication. And, you know, here's the thing. We need that. Because we have to find a way to communicate. It's essential. Our second challenge is this. Simply, it's one of identity. We have a brand new system of government. It's only 8 years old. And our boards, we struggle sometimes to understand who we are in light of what it is that we're doing and how it is that we relate together. We need to work on some of that stuff. And quite honestly, that's going to involve some bylaw changes. And maybe next year you're going to see that. And I hope that you will be in favor of it, because what we need is a system that works. We need a system that supports the ministry that we are doing. And that sometimes is difficult right now, because we are fluid and we are in the process of becoming what it is that we will one day be. We also need to do this. We need to embrace our new multi-ethnic reality and also our mission orientation. And you know what? How do we mix it up as a church? How do we go and how do we get the services to relate to each other? How do we make friends with different ethnic groups that are a part of who we are as a Zion? You know, you've heard on the videos, right, that people are saying things like, we are Zion United. Why? Because in the fall, that's our big push. 1296, together, united, one. 1296, together, serving the Lord Jesus. Zion United is a concept of how it is that we could be a church that doesn't have to make you, we don't have to own you. In order for you to worship here, in order for you to be served or to serve through here. We understand that you are part of our community. We understand that by your decision to be here, you are effectively joining us. But here's the thing, we don't have to fix you. We don't have to ask you, to surrender everything to us until you want to. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I hope that in the fall we'll be able to express that more clearly and that it will express our identity even better. How can we be one with a preschool that we don't own, for instance? And yet we are, because if something happens to them, it reflects on us. And if something happens to us, it reflects on them. We are one. There's no way around it. So how does that work? And as we look at the possibility of incorporating Pastor Kakunzi into this ministry and his small flock, that also becomes part of that thrust. How is it that we can be one together? How does that work? And so far, you know, we've had some success in this, but now it's time to kind of think about things, I think, more clearly. And if you have ideas, you are more than welcome to bring them forward. We would welcome all of those ideas. I think in the fall, you'll see new mission. New vision, new values. They've been approved by the board and are just waiting for the fall to come out and to roll those out. I think that is incredibly important to who we are. I've told you about the struggles that we have with membership and what that looks like, simply because of our changing demographics and the changing world in which we live in. Someday we're going to have to sit down and we're going to have to think through all of that stuff. I told you about prospects. And about how prospects are a part of that 1296. I want to show you a little bit more about that in a minute, but this is what I'm talking about. When we go and we pick up the kids, right? And they come pouring onto the vans. Sometimes they say these funny little things that show you what they're thinking, right? And one of the ones that has happened recently is this. They'll come onto the bus and they'll say, "Did we miss Pastor John on Monday?" No. Okay. "Did we have Pastor John on Tuesday?" Okay. Do you know what they're asking about? Did we have church? messages that I get and others are starting to get, and those of you who have kind of moved in and adopted families and kids and all the rest, you're getting those. Do we have church tonight? Is there church today? Is there whatever? And, you know, we have an entire congregation on Wednesday nights that thinks this is their church. And when you talk to the teachers at the elementary school at Samuelson, what do they tell you? They will tell you, this child goes to your church. Because that's what the child believes. And that's, I think, you know, something that we have to consider. That there is a whole category of people out there who in their minds belong here. And because in their minds they belong here, we have to welcome them as part of who we are. Regardless of whether or not they can vote. Because they are a significant part of what we're doing and who we are. Integration is our third challenge. Everything at our church has to work together. In other words, when I'm talking about integration, I'm not talking about racial integration. I'm just talking about, you know, here's a case in point, okay? We forget that everything is tied to everything. So like today, what did we do? We monkeyed with the service times. Oh! What are we going to do about Sunday school? Because that's a part of it. In other words, they're together, okay? What are we going to do about ESL classes now? Because they're a part of it. We have vans that go out. And see, what happens is that when we cancel things, sometimes we forget about all the rest of the stuff that goes along with that. That's what I mean by integration. We have to have a more we have to be able to think as a whole, not just as the sum of individual parts. What you're doing and what you're doing and what I'm doing have to come together, and we need to make them work as one. And that's a hard thing for any organization. I think it's particularly hard for churches. It's not in our DNA, but it needs to get there. We have to do that. The other thing is that we do have to integrate more fully, I think, racially. According to the statistics, on those 1296, we are 50% white, we are 24% Mizo, we are 1% Liberian, 1.5% Iraqi, 3% Sudanese, 5% Karen, 5% Karenni, and then all the rest are smaller. If you were less than a percent, I'm sorry, I didn't put you under. But there are all kinds of countries and places and destinations that are represented in that. How do we do this? How do we relate? In a few minutes, we get the opportunity to go down and have lunch together, and that's going to be this magnificent thing. And like I promised, okay, you're going to get sit together, okay? I'm going to chase you, okay, to get your chairs together. You can't have three chairs between you. You can't have two chairs between you. You can have one because you can still talk that way and still have your personal space. But that's it. There are going to be topics for conversations on those tables. And I want you to try to sit with somebody you don't know, who's outside of your group. Because integration is more than racial. It's generational. It's by ability. It's by status, economic status, education, all the rest of the stuff. This is the Church of Jesus Christ, where we come to be one, where all of those things that divide us fall away. Finally, number four, our emphasis, things we need to work on, stability. And stability is in part way financial. We give a lot, and I think that you'll see that later on. Sometimes, honestly, we just don't give enough to ourselves in order to keep things running in the way that they need to run. I have prayed a lot about money. I've asked, you know, this is a great thing. We believe that we are absolutely obedient and we're doing these things. Why aren't you stepping up? Why aren't you sending us like 5-pound boxes of money? Why don't you give us a really rich guy who just wants to write checks or whatever? Do you know what I mean? I mean, why is it that we struggle with this particular thing? And why is it that we struggle with this particular thing that is so important to so many people and just keeps putting us back in the box that we are so trying to crawl out of? Why do you do that? Why don't you provide? And he said, and this is all, I already have. And it started to ring. Which means buckets. Okay. I could take anything away from all of that except to say, I know that everything that we need is already here. And if the Church of Jesus Christ goes begging, it's only because you and I haven't given enough. That's it. That's all it is. I believe that we've got this stuff here. I don't know, maybe it's buried in the basement or whatever. Maybe it's buried in the basement of our hearts. But it's here. And we don't need to worry about it too much. We just need to ask God to bring it forward. I think we also have to have stability in our attitude. We are far from dead. Sometimes people ask, how can a church do all of this? And I think our response has to be, how could it not? God provides. God sends the rain at just the right time. We also have to find stability, I think, that the vision of who we are is owned by every one of you. And that is absolutely necessary. It has to be bigger than any one person or personality or small group of people or whatever. We as a community have to own it. The other thing is this. We have to form community. I think that's also part of stability. As we work in our community, we need to form a community together. That has to happen. And Rich Newkirk, would you raise your hand there? There's Rich Newkirk. And starting next week, as often as he's available, we will introduce him as the guy that you go to if you're new. And he will tell you everything there is to know. He will welcome you. And if you want him to come to your house and visit, he'll even do that. And I think that that's magnificent. One of the things that, you know, one of the things I'm not good at is that very basic kind of churchcraft thing. And Rich is going to help us with that. And I am incredibly grateful for all of that. This is the big conclusion. Do you believe me when I tell you that the devil doesn't want us to succeed? He's going to come up with all kinds of things. I can't even tell you what it looks like looking ahead, but here's the deal. One of the Mexican pastors told me that the devil wasn't very smart, that he kind of tries the same things over and over again. And so historically, if that's the case, he's just going to try to exploit divisions. So guard your hearts. Have each other's backs. When I came here for an interview, I sat right back there in the back row. And I watched all the services, and I was overwhelmed by the presence of the Holy Spirit, who showed me this one thing. And that is this. I was overwhelmed by a feeling of potential. God has been storing away potential in this place for years. And it's time for it to come out. I feel it like I've given birth to a baby or something like that. Any moment now, boom, we're just going to explode because of all this potential. And it's part of God's plan. And I'm so excited to see what that looks like. I can't even imagine or begin to comprehend what it's going to be like, but we have to hold on until he's ready. We're building and we're building and we're building and we're going somewhere and we're building towards something, and I can't tell you what it is, but he knows. All I know is that our greatest enemy is our own fear. And we just have to keep going. And not look to the right or to the left, but keep going straight ahead. Not to look at the storm or the waves, but just to keep putting one foot in front of the other as we are called out of the boat and begin to walk on the water. So I'm going to ask you this. I think Jesus has called us to do hard things. And sometimes you might feel like you're inadequate to the task, I'm inadequate to the task, we are. But keep in mind that God uses what is weak in the world to shame what is strong. And God uses the foolish in the world in order to shame the wise. That's how he works. And I think that one of the signs of his movement among us is the fact that he could use people like us to do extraordinary things. So will you stop and will you turn back because it's hard? Can we cut out that part of the tape? Will you stop and will you turn back because it's hard?
No.
Will you keep on following Jesus?
Yes.
Will you commit yourselves to this high and mighty calling to which Jesus our Master has called us?
Yes.
From your lips to God's ears. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of this great adventure. Thank you for being a part of Zion United. God bless you.
Thomas Berkeley, and I am with the Mahazy Ministry. And what Mahazy Ministry is, it's the ministry that we serve people in Africa, Tanzania to be exact. Some of the things that we do while we're there, our biggest thing that we do is not only the church is a big help, but we sponsor kids in Africa. Most of the kids, the schooling is private, so the families have to come up with money to send their kids to school. And in a lot of cases, that doesn't happen, so the kids go without schooling. The average kid goes to maybe the third or fourth grade, and then that's it. So as a church, we've come together, and we've now, last year when I went there, we sponsored 40 kids, which was huge. And that's just one of the aspects that we do. Another thing is we visit, we sponsor a parish there that has seven different preaching points, so seven different churches. Right now, one of our projects that we're working on is actually building a church for some Muslim women who have converted over into Christianity, but their husbands are still Muslim. And they actually give them the land to build this church, which is just a huge way of thanks. And so right now they're just worshiping underneath tarps and sticks and poles. And so we would like to help them with the church, with the building, with the foundation. And another thing that we do is we go up into the mountains, up into Gonja. There's a Lutheran hospital there, and we have a relationship there with Sister Dor. She's a head nurse, and Samuel, which is a lab technician. And we go up there, and she puts us to work. We go up there, and we paint, we sew, we do whatever she needs us to do. And we also send shipment containers over. We've sent a couple over through the church and other partnerships. With beds and mattresses and blankets and things that they need. But all in all, I mean, everywhere you go, you see Jesus. I mean, you really look at what we have and what we take for granted, and you look at what little they have, but they consider themselves kings and queens because they have Jesus and that they're blessed. And not only is it, I mean, I got goosebumps now telling you this, but it's just a tremendous, it really makes you love God even more because you know that there's people there that don't have what you have, but they, in some cases for me, I feel like they have a better relationship with God than I do, and which just lights a fire under me to get more active in most of my relationship with God. And but you see Jesus everywhere with the kids that we're sponsoring at the hospital, the patients that we're helping, and with the churches that we go to, and the things that we do at the churches. But God is everywhere. And as far as Zion, we need to be united. We need to be one because it is one God. And this is His church, all churches. I mean, it's we need to come together as a family, as a group, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we just appreciate your help. If there's ways that you want to help, the big thing would be to pray for the people that's over there. We're still taking people who would be interested in going to Tanzania. If you're something that you want to do is to go into the mission field and check it out, then by all means, see one of the members and come to a couple classes and check it out. Would love to have you. But other than that, just as always, pray. Thank you.
I get to follow all of that. All right, a couple things kind of bring up. One, I missed an agenda item, so I'll go back to that. And can you believe we're actually behind our timeline already? Just can't fathom that. There were three handouts that were out in the tables when you came in that pertained to the service. One of those is a document talking about sort of the future vision of Zion. And so I want to make a couple comments about the fact that as a board and as leadership of the church, we have sort of committed to looking at vision of the future rather than a five-year plan or a more of a traditional model that churches often fall into. Feeling really that it's important for us to be open to following where the Spirit leads us. And so that's why you see vision documents rather than five-year plans. They're concepts of where we could end up and how where God might call us to, but not necessarily a hard and rigid plan that forces us to stay on a specific course at the expense of the mission. Second thing that was out there was the minutes from last year's congregational meeting, which we actually do need to get an approval of. So hopefully you've had some time to review them while we were having the other items going on. During the sermon, yes, I'm sure that's when they all looked at it. Had to be way more interesting. but I do entertain a motion to approve the minutes from last year's congregational meeting. Have a motion? Second? Any discussion? I'll call for a vote for approval. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, say same sign. Carried. And last is the discussion of the financials, which is really hard to follow a sermon like that with this kind of stuff, but hopefully that fits the theme. We'll talk a little bit. There is a handout that has a little more detail on it if you picked it up. We'll talk about last year. These are just high-level categories. Budget last year was based on some assumptions because our stewardship campaign, which is why that position needs some revamping, actually didn't get us back enough information to put an accurate plan together. It was based on traditional giving trends and what we expected to see. And we started out a little challenge at the beginning of the year in giving, which we have picked up drastically in the last 3 months after we did some sermon series on it, and just put some focus on the fact that that's still a piece of our membership here and our activities that we need to focus on. But just a quick review of where we were. We ended up about 96% of our expected revenue, and we'll talk about where revenue comes in that's outside of this picture in a little bit, I think. And our expenses were a little over at 106%, with almost all of that being driven by mission, which was significantly over budget. And as a board and as a lot of members here, I think the idea if we spend on mission, that's not necessarily a bad thing because that's what we're called here to do. We also had inside the support column, and some there's a little more detail in the sheets that was provided, but we did have some specific expenses come up. We had an air conditioner go out. We had higher cost in snow removal. The fact that we are actively using this building requires a certain number of additional energy cost, as well as supplies and things like that. It's just the nature of being true to the mission we've been called to be. As such, we actually ended up over budget by a significant amount, $36,000. And that John talked about the fact that with that means we borrow from ourselves. So there are a series of funds, and we'll see some of that in there, that basically are allowing us to cash flow this. But this is an objective next year, is we got to start whittling this back down. And we'll talk about what our plan of action is on that. So real quick on a budget, we basically have stated we are going to maintain a flat budget, partly because it takes this budget to run this kind of church, and we either decide we're not going to follow the call that we feel we're being called to, or we have to find a way to make this funding happen. And our basically last 2 months' trends show that we would actually be on track to meet this budget, probably just a little over this budget. Assuming this is normally a slow time of the year, that's actually a good sign for us that this is actually achievable. And what we're going to do, and we'll talk about the adjustments to budgets here just a little bit, what we're going to do with that is basically do quarterly reviews of where we're at, and if necessary, we'll come back to the congregation the way we did last time. And we're also going to challenge the Board of Administration, and if the new members don't know, they're getting this yet, to come up with alternate ways to find ways to fund our missions, which may be outside of the just standard membership giving. And so with all that in mind, we feel comfortable at this point that we can accept a budget like this that's the same as it was last year, even though we didn't actually meet revenue. What I want to talk about a little bit about here, and this is something we have tended to do in the past with a little different view on it, but there are some things that come through as designated giving that sit kind of carried right into various missions or other activities. And so we start talking about some of these things where that funding didn't sit on what I would call the typical support of the church, but rather the support of the missions, and they may not actually end up in that mission budget. We see some pretty large dollars of things that we fund on a regular basis. We did the fundraising for the van, and there was a significant amount, or the vans, plural, that's a significant amount of money that it takes to run even the gas that goes back and forth to run those things. So there is a continual need for that. But we had about $41,000 in designated giving for programs that kind of sits to fund those specifically. We also had a series of special offerings, and we can say we discuss this a lot, what the impact's on there. There was things that basically funded activities more or less outside of the standard flow of our giving and our mission internally. Sometimes those are things where an organization comes in to ask for us to help fund them, and we actively want to participate in those funding. Some of those are internal activities where we find alternate ways to fund those, and sometimes those are mission activities that we base as part of our congregation, like the neighborhood, Mike Wesky, who we actually helped raise some money for that family to help them through their troubled times. But there was another significant amount of money that came through that we raised as a congregation that doesn't show up in that budget. And then our own internal various what we call carry forward funds. So these sit outside the core budget as activities or funds, if you will, that's carry over. And they fund typically internal activities or special programs and things like that. And we have another $41,000 in there. So when we talk about what we raise as a church, it's significantly more than what we show on that budget report. And it's something that's good to know that it's not just what we do to make the church run, that's also what we do in terms of missions and activities that sit outside that, I guess, budgeted or planned for activities. That being said, I will say that the general fund, that which funds things like the building and things like that, are also still important. And so we still need that tithe, giving, and offerings that come through on a Sunday morning to keep us operational and to pay the staff, who we really could not live without because they drive all this activity. So we have presented a budget, and I will go back to that slide, basically a flat budget for next year. The small variances in there are adjusting mission back to what did Matt put together. Basically, it's going to be what we had budgeted last year plus some additional giving that goes through the Jesus Said Go Fund that we feel can actually feed into this and support that number of dollars. And basically, I'm looking at still a $6,000 income. Now, our goal on that is much higher than that, but we're setting a realistically goal, and we'll try to achieve past that. So at this point, I would entertain a motion from the floor to accept the budget as it's been proposed. I have a motion. I have a second. Any discussion? Is that set? Yes. We will do quarterly reviews of. It's probably a little bit of both, and I would make this statement. Poor Lynette is going to get put on the spot, but I'm really hoping Lynette can help us drive some of these things forward. But we'll do the quarterly review at the board level if it's a significant thing where we want to discuss it. It may just be that we present the numbers, or we might have meetings. It depends on the criticality. We tried last year to do meetings, and honestly, sometimes the attendance is not as great as what you might think it might be considering. But where we have large variances and we potentially have to make decisions on, we will definitely get the congregation involved. Any other questions? Yes. So, yeah, it's been asked a lot. We get to talk about it a lot, too. Maybe I'm getting a little numb to the conversation because it's always up for topic, and we've since I've been on the board, I think we've been allowed to give staff raises one time, which is really a depressing thought. What we made the statement at the BSO meeting and sort of directed that back down to the BOA is the if we would get ahead, that would be the first priority, is to give the staff increases. Now, the mission of the church is always going to be balanced in there a little bit, but that's the reality, is that's the first place that we look to focus, is getting them, and then probably building maintenance fund would be the next, just so everybody knows what the priorities are. We are potentially, you know, putting both the staff and our building at risk by continuing to run in these levels of income, so. I've been on BSO. I'm entering my fifth year.
Okay, so 5 years.
That is correct. Jamie? I think we will this year. For those that don't know, we've introduced some new accounting structures and a new accounting software as part of our church management software, and with Lynette coming on, we're trying to put some things in place where we can get a more accurate picture at a more real time than what we've been able to see in the past, just because of the way we were counting things. So I think usually by the end of a month, we'll have a monthly balance in where we're at on trendings. Giving trending will be the biggest thing. If we start seeing the current trends continue or increase, I guess basically that probably would need to increase some, that's where we would start to mark those. We did not set a defined, you know, cross this threshold of above budget before we would do that, because I think it's subjective to, again, what Christ is calling us to. But, yeah, we should be able to see much more granular than we have in the past. At least that's my goal, anyway. Any other questions? Yes. Absolutely, and thank you for that feedback. I will state that we have worked over the last year to 2 years with the trust fund to try and look at ways and opportunities they can help us out that include things like we have a line of credit for them. If we would actually get into cash strapped, we can actually borrow from the trust fund. There are already some changes in the way that decisions are being made that allow them to be a little more open to helping in certain ministries in the church that still fit within the bylaws that are established in our governance, and we know that we will look at opportunities in the future just for that purpose. So noted. Any other questions? With that, I will call for a vote. All those in favor of approving the budget as presented, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say aye. Same sign. All right. Thank you. And is that the end of my activities? That's it.
Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks and praise because in
your mercy you have called us to be a part of your great plan. Lord, teach us to love one another. Thank you, Lord, for getting us through all the business. Thank you, Lord, that you are great and mighty. Lord, what can we do but to offer up to you everything, all of our thanks and all of our praise. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Lal Puya, do you want to come up and you want to sing a song? You and me? You want to bring the choir? No? Are you? No? Oh, okay. Just a minute. Hold on. Okay. That means we're on to communion.
All right.
All right. Let's go. Jesus gave us this amazing way of remembering who we are Every time we have this meal together, we remember that he died for us, that we might be forgiven. We remember the fact that one day we're going to eat this meal with all those who have gone before us in faith in the life to come. We remember, too, that we eat this meal today with our brothers and sisters all over town, all over the country, and all over the world. And that today, too, this is a foretaste of that great high feast that I talked about, that, you know, we're going to eat with those who've gone before us, but that church, the church triumphant, the church that's already passed from adversity to eternity, they're celebrating today, too. This is where we come. This is where we can be one. Jesus made himself known in the breaking of bread. And I hope today when you look around the room and you see your brothers and sisters that you will also see him. Because we are his body together. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. And he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body. It's broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and after he had given thanks, he gave it to them to drink, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, and it's poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All right, we are going to have communion the way that we always do. If you're visiting with us today, you can come over here and you can kneel down and you can spend as much time as you want to. And if people may come and go on either side, it's okay. We won't bother you. You can come over here and you can receive the bread and the wine in kind of a continuous motion fashion all the way around. And we also have a table over there. Where you can go as a family or as a group or if you want to reconcile or whatever. We're not watching you. You can go do it yourself over there as you like because we don't do judgment. Do we have helpers? I forgot. You did? Oh, bless you. All right, that's great. If you're helping, why don't you come on up here? You know, I just don't do details. You know what I mean? And so we get to this great part and it's like, okay, let's do it. And wow, here they come. This is amazing. So thank you. Remember also, we don't have any ushers. So you need to listen to the Holy Spirit and come when you want. And just don't josh or push or, you know, kick anybody to the ground or something like that. Give Jesus a black eye. It's our chance to love one another. Let each other go first. So come, for all is now ready. Jesus, our great high priest, has prepared the feast for us. This is our banquet. Come and eat.
Midland, and I'm with the quilting ministry here at Zion United, and each Friday morning, except in the summertime, we don't always meet on Friday morning, every Friday morning, but there's about 13 ladies that we get together, and we use donated fabrics and donated batting, and we make very simple quilts to give to all different types of charities, like Ronald McDonald House, Hope Ministries, a men's ministry in Fort Dodge, anywhere that we have a request for quilts. And this is to bring comfort in the wintertime to people that are cold and in need of a quilt. So if you'd like to join us on Fridays, and we can always use fabric if you would like to donate that, or come and help us. The fellowship is great, and we always have a snack, too, so come and join us.
Hi, I'm Bob Norris with the Zion Trust Fund Board, and the Trust Fund Board manages the perpetual fund monies that the church has. Earnings from that money can be used to fund community outreaches and missions overseas and various things like that to help share the love of Jesus to those outside the church. So far this year, we have funded things like some scholarships for some kids to go to camp. We funded part of a trip for a young man to go to Mexico on a mission trip, and we also provided funding to help pay for many of the summer activities that are going on, including VBS, art camp, skating rink, and various other activities. So that's a little bit about what the Trust Fund Board does.
I'm Kate Schaefer, and I help with Backpack Buddies. We deliver food to Samuelson Elementary for 25 kids every Friday. You can help by coming in between services to help pack the bags. It's very easy. You can also help by donating any individually packaged food items. They go into the Fellowship Center on the right side in the first store. And we are Zion United.
Hi, I'm Sherilyn Rickers, and I'm with the Clothes Closet Ministry. And we basically receive clothes, we sort through clothes, we put clothes out in our clothes closet store so that people can come and shop here. And anyone that's in need is welcome to shop here. And we're also available to help people when they do their shopping. And so we staff the closet Monday through Friday, 9 to noon, and are just available for people when they come in. And this past year, we really saw Jesus in the eyes of the refugee, our refugee friends at Douglas Terrace Apartments. When we took the whole inventory of the clothes closet and we went mobile, we called it, and we went to Douglas Terrace and we just laid out all the clothes for them to shop. And it was really a neat experience. And I feel like we definitely saw Jesus when we did that. The other time that I feel like we saw Jesus was in the eyes of a homeless man who biked here and could only take what he could carry home with him. And it was a beautiful, beautiful experience. So we would love your help. We are always in need of help. Like I said, we staff the clothes closet from 9 to noon, Monday through Friday, and it's easy work, and we will put you to work if you are available. So thanks a lot, and we just invite you to be a part of Zion United.
Okay. Will the congregation rise, please? And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the food that is before us. We pray it all in your name, Jesus. Amen. You did it in the time that it takes to watch a feature film. Okay. We've done all kinds of cool stuff. We are interested in your feedback. Contact information for pastors and staff is on the back of your bulletin. Let us know how you think it went. God bless you. Hope to see you next week. Let's praise the Lord.